We'll be ready whenever you are.
Okay, hold on.
Thank you.
Can I share
for 1 second here? Let me get this thing on. And for the record, would you give your name and ABC number, sir?
Andrew Barnett, 33224.
Thank you, Mr. Barnett. You're appearing for the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for your home arrest hearing this afternoon and regarding the three allegations on your warrant. And based upon information that we have received, we were notified of this hearing back on March the 26th of this year. Do you remember that notification, sir?
Yes.
You stated, among other things, that you could obtain a lawyer at your own expense to represent you. We don't see one present this afternoon. May I assume that you're going to represent yourself, sir?
Yes.
And we have four board members participating in your hearing this afternoon. And they are the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson, the Honorable Mr. David Neal, the Honorable Mr. Louis Kawanis, and my name is C.T. Wright. I will be serving as your panel chair this afternoon, sir. We also have a room with us today, Mr. Westby. Mr. Westby will be representing the Department of Corrections as well as the parole, as well as your parole officer this afternoon, sir. I would also acknowledge the presence of your wife, who's also present in the room as well. And will you be speaking today, ma'am? Okay, so I'm going to ask the three of you the same question. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God? Or do you swear a crime? Mr. Burnett?
Yes.
Ms. Burnett? Ms. Lee, okay. Ms. Lee Burnett, okay. And of course, Mr. Westby. Okay, as I indicated, sir, you have three allegations on your warrant. I am going to read each of them. Once I read each of them, please tell me whether they're true or false. The first one reads that you're in violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision Number 7, as demonstrated by your failure to submit a urine specimen for drug testing on or about February 8, 2018, for the task individual testing compliance summary dated on March 1st, 2018. Sir, is that true or false?
That's true.
Thank you, sir. The next one reads that you are in violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision Number 2, as demonstrated by your failure to follow the directives of your assigned parole officer by failing to adhere to and abide by your submitted itinerary on February 21st, 2018. As verbally or redirected on January 10, 2018. Sir, is that true or false?
I'm not sure how to speak on that because I thought I was abiding by the itinerary.
So you're saying that that is false, sir?
Yes.
Okay, we'll be back to that one shortly. The next one reads that you are violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision Number 2, as demonstrated by your failure to follow the directives of your assigned parole officer by failing to adhere to and abide by his, by your submitted itinerary on February, I believe that must be February the 21st, 2018, as verbally or redirected on January 10, 2018. Sir, is that true or false?
Yes, the same as the last, I'm not sure.
Okay, well,
I thought I was back to our
No, but it has to be true or false. So we don't, you can explain it later, but at the moment we have to have it true or false.
All right, false.
Okay. At this time, you're going to receive testimony on allegations 1 and 2 from the Department of Corrections, and then we'll come back to you, and then you can explain to us why they are false. Okay, Mr. Westby, would you give us testimony on allegation number 2, sir?
On January 10th, 2018, the inmate was released from ASPC Hyman. On January 10th, 2018, during the inmate's initial intake, inmate Barnett, number 033224, signed Arizona Conditions of Supervision. Specifically, the inmate was advised both verbally and per his written conditions of supervision number 2, maintain contact with my supervising officer and follow all directives given, either verbal or written. On February 21st, 2018, the inmate deviated from his approved itinerary. On February 21st, 2018, the offender had approval to go to the 8 Clinic in Gilbert, located at 3285 South Bell Vista, but nothing else noted and or listed for approval. He He left his appointment and went to the 99 cent only store located at 2009 on State Street by Mesa, Arizona from 10:48 to 10:56 a.m. without prior approval. He left the 99 cent only store and went to the Walmart neighborhood store located at 730 East McCallops Road, Mesa, Arizona from 10:58 to 11:08 a.m. without prior approval. He then left and traveled to Montmore Cigarettes located at 10115 East McDowell Road, Scottsdale, Arizona, from 11:15 a.m. to 11:19 a.m. without prior approval. On February 19, 2018, the offender requested in writing a change to his submitted itinerary for approval of his movement on 2/21/18. The inmate had only requested and approved to leave his residence to go to the VA clinic located at 3285 South Bell Vista from 8 a.m. to 1400 hours. The inmate was not approved for his three other stops to include the 99 cent only store, Walmart, and on Ottmore cigarettes that he had made along the way, however, they listed on his real itinerary request. On 2/20/18, this officer conducted a face-to-face contact visit with the inmate at his residence. This officer questioned if he had deviated from the schedule. He reported that he did not, that he did go to the 99 cent only store on his way home. The officer asked if he had approval to do so. He reported, "I don't understand what the big deal is if it's on my way home." The inmate did not disclose his two other stops to this officer. The inmate has been stabbed previously on three different occasions for not abiding by his itinerary by Senior Parole Officer Osborne, Senior Parole Officer Pereira, and Parole Supervisor Fleischman. Each stabbing, the inmate has been explained what it meant to be on home arrest and at that moment must be pre-approved. The inmate has been redirected in regards to a similar violation.
Thank you, sir. Now, why did you say allegation number two is false, sir?
Well, all those facts are true. But I was on my way home, I didn't think of the issue that I stopped at the store and picked up something for dinner. So that just seemed like I couldn't understand why that would put me in violation.
Okay, we'll discuss that in phase two if we get to phase two, sir, but I would say I believe that you did sign your supervision statement.
Yes.
And there it
yes.
says that you could not deviate from the itinerary that you were given, sir. And I think that's where the difference, where the misinterpretation on your part was not the same as what was being pointed out by the parole officer. But I'm going to move on so that for town management, I'm going to move on to allegation number three. We'll take testimony on allegation number three from Mr. Westby.
On January 10th, 2018, the inmate was released from ASPC Lyman. On January 10th, 2018, during the inmate's initial intake, inmate Barnett, number 033224, signed orders under conditions of supervision. Specifically, the offender was advised both verbal and verbal written conditions of supervision. Number two, maintain contact with my supervising officer and follow all directions given either verbal or written. On February 19, 2018, the inmate deviated from his approved itinerary and left his residence to go to McDonald's, located at 2665 South Elm School Road, Mesa, Arizona, 85210, and also went to a Sonic Drive-In, located at 235 West University Drive, Mesa, Arizona, without the prior approval of this officer. On February 8, 2018, the offender submitted an itinerary for approval of his movement on February 19, 2018. The man had only requested and was approved to leave his residence to go to the Mesa Thrift Store located at 1018 West Main Street, Mesa, Arizona from 5 to 8 p.m. hours. The inmate was not approved for his two other stops that he made along the way at McDonald's located at 2665 South Elm School Road, Mesa, Arizona, 5210, and at Simon Drive located at 235 West University Drive, Mesa, Arizona. Neither of those places were listed or approved by the staff.
Thank you so much, Mr. Westby, Mr. Bennett. Why is that one false, sir? That's allegation number three.
Well, it's false because the intention was to go to the Mesa Thrift Store, but my wife had an issue at the time, and it needs to be addressed. So that was the first stop at the McDonald's. Then from there, we went straight to Mesa Thrift, stayed hour and a half till closing, and on the way home, stopped at the Sonic for a milkshake. But other than that, we went straight home.
Okay, thank you, sir. Any questions about board members, discussion as it relates to allegations 2 and 3, since he said that both of those were false? Okay. I don't see any further discussion that way in the power management, and so that we can move forward. I'm going to offer a motion at this point, and I think by now you know that phase 2 will be very important. But okay, but my motion at this point is going to be based upon allegation number 1, that is based upon the admission of Mr. Cornett. It relates to allegation number 2 and 3. The motion will pertain to information, a testimony provided by the Department of Corrections, and that is by Mr. Westby on our behalf, as well as information contained in warrant number 2018-W0517. And the motion is to find that Mr. Burnett violated the terms and conditions of his supervision, that he was delinquent, that he had or may have lapsed into criminal ways or company. And that is my motion.
Second.
Motion by myself, seconded by Mr. Honorable Mr. Neal, agreed by Honorable Mr. Johnson and Honorable Mr. Kalanis. So you have been found in violation of the terms and conditions of your supervision, but now we're going to go into phase 2 of your hearing. And this is the most important part of the hearing, in my opinion. That is, the board will make a determination at the end of phase 2 whether to revoke your community supervision or to continue you on supervision. So at this time, sir, we're going to ask that if you would remain quiet. We're going to get some testimony coming from the Department of Corrections regarding your background. Then we're going to come back and we're going to ask you some questions, and then you and your wife will be able to give testimony to the board. So at this time, Mr. Westby, sir, would you give us some testimony on his background, sir?
Mr. Burnett was released from the OC on January 10th, 2018. He was arrested February 22nd, 2018 by DOC staff, noting charges. He was back in DOC custody on February 22nd, 2018 with a projected CCD of January 1st, 2059, life imprisonment, 0 abscond days. Current conviction, 2006, dangerous deadly assault by a prisoner, 11 years, 3 months. Prior convictions, 1974 armed robbery, 15 years, 1974 kidnapping, 15 years, 1980 dangerous deadly assault by prisoner, life. This is his third term in DOC, CUIR score 5-3, mental health score 1, substance abuse score 1. SKGA information notes, he's a validated member of the Mau Mau Security Threat Group. Our terms of supervision, home arrest release, reverted to parole, arrested on tech violation, revoked by the BOEC. And that was, I don't have it here.
It was in 2017.
That was 2013. Discipline violations are significant to drugs, violence, weapons, and staff assault noted. There's no other arrest on record. His community risk score is a G5A6.
Okay, just remind the records, because I was not paying any attention. Now, when you gave the previous charges, you said he had 15 years for what, and then another 15 years, and then a life sentence. Would you just tell me what those offenses were, sir?
Yes, sir. Armed robbery, 1974, armed robbery, 15 years. 1974, kidnapping, 15 years. 1980, dangerous deadly assault by a prisoner, life.
Okay, that's all I need. Thank you so very much. Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Westby. And at this time, we will go into, this is phase 2, and just ask you a few questions, Mr. Burnett, and then you can tell us anything that you need to tell us along with your wife. Okay, now based on information that we have, and you were approved to live with your wife, who's present in the room today, and did you remain at that residence while you were out, sir?
Yes.
Did you find any employment while you were out, sir?
No, I'm disabled.
You're disabled. Did you receive SSI or anything, sir?
I'm a disabled vet.
You're a disabled vet. So do you receive the disabled vet pension, sir?
Yes, I do.
Okay. And so you had no employment. Did you drop any UAs while you were out, sir?
Yes, four. Every time I was asked, I submitted UAs on one occasion, my color came up, but apparently I forgot to call in that morning. But my PO called me and had me go in and drop the DA. I had to check the DA, and I'm shooting up the results of all of them right there.
And you dropped the next day, so after you missed the one on February the 8th, then you dropped on the 9th, and that one would have been negative as well. Okay, sir. I want to get back to one of the reasons that you were here, and that is because you did not, according to information in the warrant, you did not follow the information that requested the warrant for arrest. You tend to have not followed the directive that you had been given when you were on, it's my understanding, and I stand to be corrected, when you're on home arrest, you have to come up with your itinerary on a weekly basis, and you cannot deviate from it. You deviated, so why did you deviate from your what you had agreed with your parole officer, sir?
Well, I didn't realize that stopping at a store or gas station or that kind of thing was considered deviating. I continued on my path. I didn't go out of my way, didn't go hanging out with no one or doing anything like that. I just stopped and tried to pick up the things I was going to need once I did buy home because I was going to lock down. And I didn't consider that deviating from my itinerary.
Included on your itinerary that you and your parole officer had agreed upon. Was those included there? Yes, they were in your community.
I understand it now, but at the time I didn't think that those had to be listed on my itinerary, because a lot of times you don't even know what you need to do. And so,
yeah, but that's
why the itinerary was made out a week or 2 weeks ahead of time.
But you know, that's the reason that they put that GPS on you, so that they would know where you are and what you're doing, sir. I think, you know. We talked to you before in the past, sir. Because you've come before this board before, and you're an intelligent gentleman. And I know that, and you know that you're an intelligent gentleman. And I don't know why you couldn't figure out that you were not supposed to deviate from the, go any place that was not listed on the itinerary. Now that's what I need to be convinced of.
I understand that.
Yes, sir.
I was on home arrest in 2013.
Yes, sir.
But it was nothing like it is now.
No,
this is more strict. It's more strict.
Yes,
but
sir.
I didn't realize that at the time.
Yes,
I thought it was similar to what it was in 2013, and I was operating it on that premise. But apparently, these stops were the problem for them. And if they were, then the problem was solved. I've discussed it with my wife. We understand that I couldn't do what I was doing with the little stops. I wasn't getting into any kind of illegal activity or anything like that. But I've discussed it with my wife. She understands that she's going to have to do all the errands. I'm asking to be reinstated because those stops, if that was the problem, that problem is solved. There won't be any more of those.
Sure, but we need to go back to one that just took place. Now, you, it's my understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong, you did sign the Arizona conditions of supervision. What we show here that you actually signed them on January 10, 2018, and I think that, and they will also explain to you, do you disagree that you signed them and that your parole officer, your parole officer explained them to you verbally, and of course they were written, and I believe you did sign them, sir, and I believe that we, I believe Mr. Westby, they are attached to the warrant, therefore you signed them, so you weren't paying any attention to what you signed, sir?
No, I signed them, and what I'm saying is that when they told me to go here and go straight home, I didn't think I wasn't going straight home. I didn't go off the path. I didn't deviate from my path. The store that I stopped at was right in my community, and I was on my way home to lock down, knowing that I wouldn't go back out again. And I never left the house without being approved. I didn't do anything like that. and I tried to avoid being late. All I did was try to pick up the necessities that I thought I needed when I locked down so nobody have to go back out.
Okay, sir. So at this time, sir, I'm going to yield to other board members who might have some questions for you at this time. Well, before I do that, may I ask Mr. Westby, he wants to offer something, then I'll go to other board members.
Yeah, I just wanted to add some clarification to the board. Mr. Barnett stated that he was not aiming and he was with statements in his community, stops that were along the way. However, on February 19th, his request on his itinerary that he was to go to the VA clinic in Gilbert at 3285 South Bella Vista is the other stops that he had along the way were gone progressively farther from his residence in Mesa. They were ultimately culminating at Alamo Cigarettes in Scottsdale on McDowell Road on the southwest or northwest corner of McDowell Road and Alamo School. So that was not in his immediate community. That was actually a dozen or so miles away west. So I just wanted to point that out, that this was not, he was deviating, and I think that's probably why it really flagged for the parole officer.
Yes, sir. With that one, that had happened before, am I correct? It was with different parole officers.
Yes, that was correct. And he was staffed for this on the morning, in case he was staffed on January 22nd regarding that he wasn't to go anywhere else or to deviate. So he was already staffed regarding his behavior.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir. This time, I believe I saw Mr. Johnson. The Honorable Mr. Johnson, he has some questions for you, sir.
So I had a couple of questions. I'm looking over this paperwork, and according to the paperwork, it says that you were stopped on three previous occasions for not abiding by your itinerary by the POs, and during the staffing, it was explained to you what it meant to be on home arrest and that any movement must be pre-approved. So I'm just trying to understand, because it appears that even after you had been staffed, that you continued to do things that was outside of your itinerary, and including one time that we had a cell phone violation on the January 22nd, as well as a zone violation on January 22nd, but the cell phone that you didn't have. Did you have permission from your PO to drive, sir?
Yes. My PO, the first day I got out on January 10th, he stated to me if at some time when I'm out and about, if I went to stop for some lunch, I could do that. Yeah, that's what he stated to me.
Well, you don't have that. You don't have that.
At first staffing, his supervisor took exception with that. And I looked at him, to my PO, for support. And he looked down at the ground like he lost something. So I left that alone. I bit my tongue. I didn't say anything about it. But I felt like I was left hanging on that one. And at the time when he told me that, I didn't think nothing of it because it made sense. But if I was out and got hungry, I should be able to go through one of the drive-through burger joints.
Okay.
But they got on me about stopping at Burger King to get some lunch.
Okay, but you are...
That was at the first staffing.
So
that occurred after going to church and visiting my siblings. And as punishment, they told me I couldn't visit my siblings anymore.
Okay, Mr. Brennan, I know that I'm looking over this and I'm looking at the paperwork that you signed, and the paperwork that you signed does not say that, and I wasn't there when you talked to the PO, so I certainly can't say, what the PO told you, if he told you you could stop, but I would tell you that the entire time that I've been sitting on this board and people have been going through their itineraries, any deviation from what they were supposed to be doing has always been a violation. So I don't know when this would have become a standard that would be acceptable, sir. So
I understand. I understand.
Listen to me very well, Mr. Burnett.
Parole officer.
Mr. Burnett, I need you to
consider it a violation. But at the time, I didn't. I don't know that I was violating the conditions of my parole.
Okay.
And I was making those little stops. I just considered myself trying to be a good husband and help my wife out, do things that need to be done so she didn't have to go out and do those things after she got off work. Okay. I was already out of that bus.
Mr. Burnett.
And on my way home, so I felt like that would be a violation of my parole. I was in no way trying to violate my parole or ignore my parole officer.
Mr. Burnett. Mr. Burnett. Are you listening, sir?
Yes.
Okay. So I know for a fact that when we put someone on home arrest, we advise them that they are still in custody of the Department of Corrections. And it's not like they're on regular parole and they have to abide by all the rules and regulations that they have.
Yes, sir.
So, you know, you on home arrest cannot act as though you are off the road or on the road and can stop and do as you please. That's the whole purpose of it. Now, you know, you had a home zone violation on January 22nd, where a time zone actually where you came in late after that. So I'm sure, you know, when you did that, sir, they talk to you about the time zone violation, that you have to be home and you have a curfew and you have to be home by that time. And then the same date you had the cell phone violation, they didn't know that you had a cell phone, and then you didn't relate that information to your PO, and they found that they didn't violate you on that. And then you also had where you didn't go take the UA because you didn't call in because you forgot to call in to go take the UA, but you did go take the UA the very next day, and you were negative. You were negative on that. But sir, those three things themselves are enough to violate you.
I realize
it seems as though you're not taking seriously the conditions of your parole while you're on home arrest. That's what it sounds to me. Like, you're making excuses, but you're not taking it seriously that there are some very strict restrictions for your home arrest. And it doesn't appear as though you're taking those things seriously, sir.
I take it very seriously. As I said, I was staying home, and I was only going to appointments that I need to go to. And other than that, I wouldn't be going anywhere. But I was looking at this home arrest as it was 4 years ago when I was on home arrest. But it's different now, and I didn't realize it until when I got taken in custody. I was surprised by the warrant, when I read the warrant. I was surprised by the accusations. I thought it was going to be something much more serious than those stops.
So,
and that's what I'm saying.
That's
the problem.
That
problem will be solved because that's in my control. I can solve that.
Okay. All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Other question discussion. The honorable Mr. has questions for you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Board Chairman. Actually, it's a question for Mr. Westby. And I know I'm asking you, it's just kind of a context thing, but has there been major changes in how restrictive home arrest is in the last 5 years?
Negative. I've worked in community corrections for 12 to 13 years, and home arrest procedures and electronic monitoring have not changed during that time.
Thank you for that clarification. Thank you, Dr. Wright.
Thank you, Honorable Mr. Wallace. Any further questions at this time from board members? With none, at this time, I'm going to ask Ms. The wife if she would come forward at this time. And remember that you're still on the oath, and please state your name for the record up front. Okay, thank you, Ms. Lee. And what do you want to tell the board today, ma'am?
Well, first of all, he's been very honorable. A couple of these stops, particularly coming back from Lisa Thrift, were my stops, okay? And I didn't realize, because I never read the packet that he had, because it was his packet. So I didn't realize that they were my stops. And he has a hard time telling me no, because, I mean, he was in prison for 40 years, got out, we met, we got married, and now he tries to do everything to please me. Do you know how he violated? Do you know what he's looking for? And I know it's not an excuse, but I was standing cutting up lamb, and I was going to make a lamb roast and put it in the oven. And I said to him, oh, when you get back, I'm going to need some carrots for this. And so he stopped and got carrots and walked in there, and I was just like, I have to learn to keep my mouth shut, okay? Now, insofar as stopping to get something to eat, I specifically asked David Vu, if we were out and we had been out for a while, if we could stop at the drive-thru and get something to eat, and he told me yes, sitting right on my couch. And they explained to me that he can go shopping with you. You need to make out the itinerary. Nobody told me how to make the itinerary out, but I do have to thank Mr. Perla, is that what his name is, a Parada or whatever, because I sent an itinerary to him. We were going to go to church, we were going to visit his sisters and everything. He has 11 sisters, I have one sister. They're all in South Phoenix except for two of his. One lives in San Francisco, one lives in Nevada. So I made the itinerary out and I sent it to them. He sent it back, and he specifically told me how to do an itinerary out. Mr. Boone told me that we needed to make the itinerary out for 2 weeks in advance. Do you know you're going to have to go to the bathroom because you have to go to the bowel 2 weeks in advance? I don't. But that's no excuse, okay? I'm not making excuses, but I just want you guys to know that he's not telling you everything, because a lot of the times, like on Alkmaar, when you're talking about on Alkmaar, he was in the car and I went there. I just automatically went there because I'm not on house arrest and I didn't think about it. But when I talked to him, he said, I'm taking responsibility for it because it's not your fault, it's my fault. And I have cried so many times about this because a lot of it is my fault. Finally, when Vu came the last time, and he wasn't very nice, and I said to him, I said, well, Mr. Vu, can you tell me what it is? First, they told us that we could stop and get something to eat. The parole officer, when he first came and talked to me before Andrew was even released, because he was released on November the 21st, I had Josh Smith come out on December the 23rd and tell me he was getting out on the 27th. He was not released on the 27th. They said there was something wrong with the paperwork. Then I had to call down here to friends and whatever it's called here at this board. I had to call down there to find out what's going on. Then finally they send Vu out, okay? My husband's a Vietnam vet, okay? Mr. Vu is Vietnamese. So I was praying that, okay, I hope this will work out, because he doesn't talk about things that occurred over there. And he wasn't very nice. You know, you can tell people about things, but you don't demasculinize or neuter your prisoners, okay? And when he sat down and he talked to me, I specifically asked that man, can we stop and get something like at McDonald's or Burger King or someplace like that? And he says, well, you can do that, but you cannot go out to dinner. You cannot go out to a movie. If you go someplace, if you go to Fry's and you want to go to Safeway across the street just because you have 2 hours left, you can't go to Safeway and spend an hour shopping in there. I didn't feel that pulling through a drive-thru was deviating from the itinerary, okay? I really don't. The other thing that he failed to tell you is that, and I told Mr. Boo this, I gave Andrew that telephone for a birthday present, February the 2nd. Had I known that, I wouldn't have even given him a phone. But I don't know how he was supposed to get in touch with his PO. But anyway, I gave him a new phone for his birthday present. I don't know if he knew or not that he was supposed to, but when Vu came, Vu said, you're not supposed to have a phone unless I know. And Andrew said to him, well, I'm not really, I didn't know that. Is it written in his rules? I don't know. And I said to Mr. Vu, I said, well, I gave that to him as a birthday present because he had a 1920 phone, not really, but you know, I got him 32 gigabyte phone so he could do all the stuff on the internet and everything. So Mr. Blue said, you can't do anything without me now. And so I told Mr. Bless that, well, if that's a problem, I'll have the phone disconnected. No, he can have it, but he just should have asked me first. And I was like, okay. So then after the second time that Andy was in there and they staffed him, I actually said to Andrew, Andrew, we have to be very careful. Let's not do anything at all. We're not going to go to shopping. We're not going to put an itinerary in. We're not going to do anything because I'm not needles and pins about you being violated. Because it seems like every time you go out with me, you get called in. And so we decided not to do that. And then, like I said, the next day, he stopped and he got the carrots and everything.
Can you kind of sum it up? I know that you have lots to tell us, Ms. Lee, but I don't want to stop you, but please.
But I'm just like, you know, this week, this month, this whole thing has been just like really, really rough. And I know we don't make exceptions, but really and truly, if you guys could just give it another chance, like, you know. Because I really do need him at home. I'm trying to keep his plants up that he had grown from seeds to keep them from dying. So.
Well, let me see if, board members, my love, because I haven't asked any. Let me see if board members might have any questions for you, ma'am.
No, thank you.
I don't see any questions, but thank you so very much. The board has heard what you said, and I'm going to be kind of out of order, but I'm going to put it in language that I think I understand, and not what DOC said, not what the board says. Whenever, and I know I'm guilty of this myself, not with DOC, but whenever you sign something, you have to read it before you sign it. I take out an insurance. You know, I don't read all of that. But when it comes back and they can't pay me, there's nothing that I can do because I did sign it. And I've done that myself, you know. I mean, but you have to. And as Mr. Johnson indicated, I'm not saying how this board is going to vote, but as Mr. Johnson indicated, and I'm almost sure because he says it every time. I don't say it every time. Well, Mr. Johnson indicated, whenever we put somebody out on home arrest, he's the one who say that you are still incarcerated. You're still in jail. And he makes that very clear to every person who comes before this board and who's given the opportunity to have a home arrest. It's an unfortunate situation. That person is not out on parole, that person is still incarcerated. And just as, and I'm just going to use this as an example, this is not being criticized in abuse of me because I know you didn't understand because, but that's the same thing as you going and giving your husband a phone, and he's still in that list of France or whatever he is. I mean, you just, certain things you cannot do, and I think that, but that's neither here nor there, but I'm going back and ask board members. I'm not going to say anything I said this time. Board members, are there any further questions at this time from Mr. Burnett? Any questions at this time? I don't see any questions. Mr. Burnett, we are coming towards the end of your hearing. But this is your hearing. We want to give you an opportunity to make a final statement to the board without repeating yourself at this time, and then the board will go in discussion and we will move forward. But anything you're going to tell the board now, sir?
Yes, I just want to state that I'm aware of the violations and how they came to be considered violations. I'm asking that the board reinstate me to at home arrest, and this incident or those incidents of stopping places and failing to call attorneys, those things are in my control. And I'm stating here that if that's the problem, then the problem is solved. That those things won't happen again.
Thank you so very much, sir. At this time, as you've probably heard this before, the board is now going into discussion. We're going to ask that you, your wife, remain quiet while the board is in discussion. As you know, as it relates to this particular board, the board has not had an opportunity to discuss it before. We do it all in the open. For the first time, this would be the first time that we will have discussed it. And once we've discussed it, then the board will take a vote. After the vote has taken place, then we move forward. This is the open meeting law, so we ask that you stay on the phone, and we ask that your wife remain in the room so that you can hear everything that's being said, and that's part of the open meeting law of the state of Arizona. The board is now in discussion. Board members, I'm usually the last one to speak, but I am concerned. I believe I understand with what Mr. Burnett is saying. However, I'm going to be very succinct and very brief in what I'm saying. However, unfortunately, knowingly or unknowingly, he did violate the terms and conditions of his supervision. But I'm prepared to listen to other board members at this time. Honorable Mr. Polonis.
Thank you, Mr. Board Chairman, and it's certainly not my position to be harsh, because I think as one individual voting board member, I feel a certain amount of investment of in the success of people that we vote to grant home arrest to. It's been my experience that parole officers do not violate inmates on home arrest status at the slightest infraction. And again, that's just an accumulation of experience sitting on the board. So I take issue with an individual who's been allowed by this board to live outside the prison walls, and I'm going to use an important word here, but at least appears to be stubborn about abiding by the conditions of community supervision, and that's where I'll continue the discussion.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. Final discussion by board members. Honorable Mr. Neal.
Thank you, sir. I agree with Mr. Kilaris on his it just is multiple violations, and most of the POs appear to have to work real hard trying to have their performance successful, no matter what kind of police it was. We see them all the time getting more chances than we might have given ourselves. I don't know, reading through the conditions of the lease, it's very, very specific that your house is a correctional facility, you're under control of DOC, you have to obey all of the directions, whether they're written in those or given to you later on verbally. There were just a lot of things that were signed by Mr. Barnett that indicate that he should have known that at least part of what he was doing was not authorized. And it's also been my experience to see that the POs actually do an extensive job of explaining everything. And yes, it's a lot, especially if you've been in prison for 4 years, but at least before in 2013 was violated also. So I didn't know what to. I would like to see him succeed, but also we put our faith in Mr. Barnett. We're relying on him nonetheless at this time. He said he could follow all the rules. He wouldn't have any trouble with it. Quite concerned about that, but I'm willing to hear any other discussion when I come along.
Thank you so very much, Honorable Sir. Any further discussion by board members? Do I got the right time? Further discussion by board members? It's the second time. Thrice? Any further discussion by board members? Hearing none, I'm going to offer a motion with profound regret, but I'm going to offer it, and we'll see where it goes. And my motion is to move to revoke Mr. Andrew Burnett's home arrest. His DOC number is 033224. And reason for he did violate terms and conditions in warrant number 2018-00517. And that is my motion, very simple, to revoke.
Second.
Agreed.
motion by myself, seconded by Mr. Neal, Mr. Johnson, and Mr. Gowanus. This was a hard decision that we made, sir. We sympathize with you, and we wish you the best, but you were on home arrest, and that's all I'm going to say. At the appropriate time, you will be certified by the Department of Correction to appear before this board again. I cannot tell you when that's going to be, but it will be, it won't be in 2059, but at some point you will be recertified, and the board will take another look at your situation. Thank you so very much, sir, and also thanks to your wonderful wife who did leave the room, and your hearing is over, sir. Please put the CO3 back on the clock, sir. Thank you, sir.
Sir?